Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CT&C 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I think it's a Thursday. I think it's 2020. I'm not really sure. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, months in producing. The Titans have a playoff game. The Vols are in a bowl game. And the Preds lose the Winter Classic 4-2 yesterday in front of 85,000 and some change. Joe Rexroad from The Athletic joining us here on the program, of course, each and every Thursday. So then it must be Thursday. Of course, Joe, brought to you by Holly Garrison, your local Geico agent on Rosa Parks Boulevard. Holly can help you with your car, home, motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance located at 2120 Rosa Parks Boulevard. Think local, buy local with Geico. Can't support that any more than I do. Joe, your thoughts on the spectacle that was the Winter Classic yesterday?
Well, it looked like it was amazing, and I was talking a little bit with my coworker Adam Bingen, of course, who was there covering it for The Athletic, and he said it was as good as it looked like. Just incredible atmosphere. I mean, you're talking about more than 20,000 Preds fans make the trip. So, I mean, I think from an event perspective, it was about as great as anyone would hope. And then, of course, the game was kind of representative of this season so far. You know, it just seems like this team, when things start going the other way on this team, it doesn't have an answer for how to stop them. And that's just how it looks to me. And I don't know why, and I don't know the solution, but it just seems like we've seen that way too often this season.
Now, Joe, you're absolutely right. This is a team with immense talent, but can't seem to put it all together, which to me is a waste of – it continues to be a waste of personnel, continues to be a waste of a season, because they can't get these guys to collectively give a consistent effort out there on the ice night in and night out. But we know – a lot of it does start with the goalie. And do you think they're at a point, or when will they be at a point where they say, you know what, because Pekka is the guy right now, but he's not playing well. Seems like Father Time has caught up with them. Do you think they're going to get to a point where they say, you know what, let's just switch the sorrows, and if we get in the playoffs, great. If we don't, then so be it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, Derek, I think we're already kind of seeing, you know, that. I mean, Peck is on pace for the fewest starts, I believe, you know, since his rookie season, other than, you know, in terms of healthy seasons, of course. And it may go more that way, but the problem is, too, you know, Saros has had his ups and downs. So, I mean, you know, I think if he was making himself the clear and obvious guy and was playing consistently, I think we'd already maybe be seeing that more. They're kind of bouncing back and forth, and hoping one of them kind of gets hot and takes control of it. And I think they'd still like Pekka to be the one, or to be the 1A to Saros' 1B. But I mean, look, they are in a fight to get to the postseason. And I know a lot of season left, but now we're into January, and you can start looking at the points and the games ahead and everything, and it starts to get more and more important. So, I mean, to me, it's going to be like a game-by-game basis. And I wouldn't be surprised in any outcome in terms of goalie usage. I mean, I think it's just like, one of you, please step forward and get hot, and we're going to ride you.
Joe Rexroad joining us here from The Athletic. Titans on the road against the Patriots. And it feels like both teams might be able to play the disrespect card, because all the conversation about the Patriots is that this is the end of the dynasty, which, of course, might be comical. I guess it might be true. I don't know. And then the Titans don't get much coverage at all because they're the Titans. So what do you make of sort of the buildup? And because this Tennessee Titans team tends to play well when they believe or are perceived to be disrespected.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I don't know how much they can really play that right now. Braden, the thing is, you know, Sunday in Houston, I was like, man, I'm watching them play again, and I had just watched New England lose to Miami, and, of course, I'm writing, you know, I wrote this column basically like, you know, they could really do this, and I was like, man, this is just going to be mocked, and then they're going to lose by 30, and it's going to be mocked some more. But I've heard a lot of people saying that this week. I was just watching the NFL Network yesterday, and a lot of talk about the Titans, you know, really having a chance in this game, which I think they do. I mean, I think that's legitimate. But, yeah, this is one of those rare situations where the Patriots can actually play that. Then, of course, it's their first wild card game in 10 years. So, yeah, the Titans always have that, I guess, the whole, like, no one notices us thing. But that's changing, too. When you have the rushing, you know, you have the rushing champion, you've got the top-rated QB, you've got a legit Rookie of the Year candidate in A.J. Brown. People are talking about these guys now, and they should be. So it's going to come down to execution.
Yeah, because I feel if the Titans and the Titans have played this card for a while, the disrespect card. But like you said, they can't do it because I think people are talking more positively about the Tennessee Titans than they have in recent years. And under any other circumstances, we wouldn't be saying, "Oh yeah, they do. They should be the favorites." To beat New England. But, you know, in Vegas, that's not the case. And I think largely a lot of it is because of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and they just believe they will in the playoffs turn it around. But I think it's more so of the Titans, not necessarily the respect or disrespect card. I think it's them slaying the dragon in the playoffs. It's one thing to beat them during the season, but it's another thing to beat this team during the playoffs. Historically, the Tennessee Titans hadn't fared well against New England in the playoffs. I think they played it once or twice prior to two seasons ago, but they hadn't beaten them. And this gives them an opportunity to slay the dragon.
Well, yeah, and, you know, to the Titans' credit, I mean, that's all those guys were talking about after the game Sunday. You know, Derrick Henry, I think he was like, you know, they just played different in the playoffs. And Kevin Byard was talking about just how much Brady torched them, you know, 2 years ago. So, I mean, they were already in the mode of, hey, we understand, you know, like that 34-10 game last year. I mean, you just can't put a line to that. I mean, the Pats last year got blown out by them and the Lions, and they win the Super Bowl. So, you know, until we see it happen in the postseason, you know, then there's a reasonable amount of doubt that the Patriots are actually in trouble. But you watch it week after week after week this year, and, man, that's a pedestrian offense. You know, it really is really, really good defense. I think we're going to see a 24-21 kind of game Saturday night.
Joe Rexroth joining us here. Yeah, Patriots have averaged 21 points per game over their last eight. They've won a few of those low-scoring games, and they've lost to a lot of good teams as well. You know, Adoree Jackson being back healthy, just sort of the overall state of this team. We know from a health standpoint, we know Malcolm Butler's out. Derrick Henry seems to be fine. Everybody else, how do you feel about the health of this team going into this game?
Pretty good. I mean, I guess it's a little troubling that, you know, Jack Conklin shows back up on the injury report this week and with the knee. And, of course, he initially had the ACL tear at New England 2 years ago. I think they certainly could use him. I think he's been playing really, really well. I mean, that offensive line, especially in terms of as a run-blocking unit, you know, it's not just Derrick Henry. I mean, those guys are playing at a high level. But, yeah, getting Adoree back would be big. I mean, in some weeks, I guess it would feel bigger because, like, if they were playing the Texans, it's like, okay, now somebody who can run with Will Fuller, you know, or some of these other matchups that, you know, that they've had. But still, they're just a better defense when they have him out there. I think it allows Logan Ryan to play in a more comfortable spot for him, and I think it will definitely be better for their defense just to have that speed out there. So that's big, but overall, it was pretty good. I mean, Derrick Henry's not on the report. I still didn't think he was totally there. Even on that touchdown run, I was like, man, I think before the hammy, he's like 5 yards in front of those guys. But still, I mean, obviously, huge jump from like Oakland to how he looked in that game. He's off the report now, so that would be huge for them to not even have to worry about that hammy. So I think overall, for this time of year, they're in very good shape.
Joe, always a pleasure, my friend. Enjoy the last few bowl games and the playoff game this weekend. We'll talk soon.
I'm looking at the beach right now, guys, in Jacksonville, so I'll be with the Vols tonight. So
just make sure when you write the story that the future of the human race is at stake tonight in the Tax Slayer Bowl. Can you just make sure that the outcome carries so much weight that maybe the future of humankind is in the balance tonight?
It might, man. This is the biggest game ever.
Yes,
don't
thank you.
It.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Joe Rexroth, brought to you by Holly Garenzen, your local Geico agent on Rosa Parks Boulevard. Holly can help you with your car, home, motorcycle, boat, if you're out in Jacksonville, or RV insurance, located at 2120 Rosa Parks Boulevard. Think local, buy local with Geico. Can the Tennessee Titans play the disrespect card? Can the Patriots play the disrespect card of all teams in the NFL. What are the mindsets of both teams heading into Saturday night Titans Patriots playoff game? We'll explain. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds fall last night, yesterday afternoon, I guess, which was a Wednesday, because I'm having trouble with my days and years right now, Derek. It's 2020 and a Thursday, I think. Vols and the Hoosiers tonight in the Tax Slayer Citrus Gator Bowl, excuse me, and of course Patriots and Titans coming up over the weekend. Should be a huge playoff game on Saturday night. Casey Alexander from Belmont going to join us coming up next hour. Hal Gill as well, as we've got a loaded show today on a Thursday. And happy 2020. It is, you know, there is, it's a new year, and mm-hmm. and by the way, don't get bogged down with New Year's resolutions, because you're setting yourself up for failure.
Uh-huh.
New Year's intentions.
Yeah.
I intend to eat less sugar.
Mm-hmm.
I intend to read more books. Mm-hmm. Those are a couple of mine. I intend mm-hmm. to work out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Probably could use some of that. You know, just intentions. New Year's intentions.
Yeah.
So happy 2020, everybody. The disrespect card. And by the way, Jayon Brown was on Good Morning Football already this morning. And I think the NFL Network is one of the only places where I'm seeing a lot of run for the Tennessee Titans. So we'll get to that in just a second. But the disrespect card. Normally, the Titans are going to get that angle because they play in Nashville and they're just never going to be a big brand.
Mm-hmm.
But like Joe just said, they do have some pieces now that people are talking about. And the Patriots, while all the coverage of this game is focused on the Patriots, it is largely questions about the end of their dynasty,
mm-hmm.
which everybody can have an opinion on, whether mm-hmm. you agree with it or not. But the coverage is largely focused on the end of the Patriots dynasty. You could argue in this game, of the two teams, the team that could play the disrespect card is the Patriots. And when has that ever been a thing?
Rarely. Let's just say that. Rarely can the New England Patriots use the disrespect card. I know they used it a couple of seasons ago. What was it, last season, the season before, where they had lost and everybody thought their dynasty was over, and Brady, you know, came out, said some things over social media, and, you know, they were sort of playing a disrespect card there and then. And we see how that season ended for them in a Super Bowl appearance, I believe. I think they still lost to the Eagles that year. Or was that the year they beat Atlanta? It was one of the two. So they're in unfamiliar territory. But I think they enjoy it being this way. But they have to be concerned, because all that was coming out this year about the New England Patriots was Brady's frustration with he and the receivers not being on the same page, that the offense wasn't playing the way he was accustomed to the offense playing. Now, thankfully, they had a, you know, top-ranked defense that held them together majority of the season. But now even that top-ranked defense has shown a little crack, a little chink in the armor, so... You know.
Interesting that you say that, Derek,
mm-hmm.
because Jayon Brown was on Good Morning Football this morning, Titans linebacker, and was asked, what do the Titans have that gives them an edge over the Patriots? And this was his answer.
We have Derrick Henry, and we got a great O-line. We got A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, Tajay Sharp. We got so many explosive offensive players on our side that Ryan can get the ball to at any time and make big plays happen.
Are we living in a parallel universe?
I guess we are.
Wait, they have so many big-time explosive players on offense. When has that been a thing you could say about the Tennessee Titans? And you can say it now. And Jayon Brown didn't say anything about the defense in that question. He talked up his offense there, and I love the answer very directly at the beginning. What do you have that the Titans have to give them an edge over the Patriots? We have Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and that's really – he's spot on.
Yeah.
I would have just stopped right there because as Derrick Henry goes, this offense goes. We've seen this offense without Derrick Henry. Now, I know they still scored a bunch of points against the Saints, but this offense was much different without Derrick Henry. Their number one weapon on the outside had to work harder because they didn't have the threat of a home run guy in the backfield like Derrick Henry. Now, Lewis ran the ball effectively that day, but nobody was afraid of Lewis busting, you know, 30 or 40-yard runs. They just wasn't. The Saints weren't scared of that. So everything, Derrick Henry got the ball 31 times last game. he's going to get the ball 35 times this game. If they don't give him the ball close to 40 times this game, I think that would be doing themselves an injustice. I think and I believe the offensive line wants it that way. The coordinator wants it that way. Mm-hmm. Hopefully the receivers want it that way, because once you get in the playoffs, this is what I found as a receiver. You want to put together your numbers during the regular season, and you're going to ask for the ball and yada, yada, yada. But once you get in the playoffs, it's what gives us the best chance to win. Running a football gives us the best chance to win. Well, run it. I know y'all going to throw the football, but run the football. Run it, please, because it makes my job on the outside easier. Because if Derrick Henry's picking up 4, 5, 10, 15, 30 yards, then they're going to leave me one-on-one. Now, I know I will attract Gilmore, but then I have Corey Davis, I have Johnny Smith, I have Sharp. Hopefully, Cleef Raymond's back. Those guys are there to make plays if I can't. So please, please, I don't care if you run the ball every play. If it gets us a touchdown and we end up winning the game, so be it. We don't have to throw a pass throughout the whole playoffs. If we're winning, that's all that matters. And the strength of this team is their running game. Not the strength of the offense. It's the strength of the team, because this defense hadn't played well.
Yeah.
And Jayon Brown, it was surprising he didn't say, we have our defense that travels and Derrick Henry. No, he just said we have Derrick Henry in the offense.
And a bunch of offensive weapons. And he rattled off Tajay Sharp and Corey Davis.
Because we ain't doing nothing as a defense, basically.
Well,
we ain't doing as a defense.
They better do more than this Saturday night if they want to win. That's our analysis here on the show. We need to be better than that on Saturday night. NFL fans, don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show this Saturday. A special edition of Jared and the GM will air from 2 to 5 p.m., followed by a playoff edition of the NFL pregame show featuring Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and Chris Sanders live from Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville, located at 1003 Russell Street, from 5 to 7 p.m. prior to the AFC wildcard game with the Titans taking on the New England Patriots. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com, the studio we're in right now, Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers, and Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. Lots of good seats in that place, lots of big TVs everywhere, so that's a good place to check it out, do some pre-gaming, and then watch the game on Saturday evening. Winter Classic, big weekend, Happy New Year's. We got a lot of stuff to get to here as we continue to roll along on what I think is a Thursday in 2020. I am not sure. One particular player, however, we got a bone to pick with one particular player, and we'll do that when we come back right here. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Morning Drive, ESPN. 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, months in producing. Big thanks, just real quickly, big thanks to everybody from this station who went out to Dallas and made, I think, the best coverage of the Winter Classic possible for you guys out there. Chase McCabe, Darren McFarlane, Willie Donick, the ringside reporter, I thought sounded great yesterday as I was checking out the broadcast with Pete and Hal during the game. And of course, you know, Ryan Porth and all the guys, Gina from promotions, everybody out there who made it all happen, all the different shows, the Road to Dallas, Preds Insiders, Smashville Live, all kinds of great coverage for you out there. Obviously, the outcome, not what you want, and we can discuss, and we'll have many, many, many shows, Derek, to discuss where this team is and why they are where they are and what's going to happen at the end of the season. We've got a long way to go, and we're not even at the halfway mark yet, but we're getting closer. And that means these problems get exacerbated. And one of the bigger problems from yesterday for me is the fact that your second leading scorer on the team, Ryan Ellis, is out now. How long is that going to be? We don't know. It clearly was a head injury, as Corey Perry delivers an intentional elbow in the middle of the ice around the blue line. Not in a scrum, not in the dirty areas, not around the boards, just right out in the middle of nowhere. Just throws an elbow right into Ryan Ellis's jaw. And you know, clearly Ryan is dazed, needs to be helped off the ice by Victor Arvidsson, and I can't remember who the other guy was that was helping him off the ice. But Corey Perry is going to have a meeting with the NHL Safety Committee and do all that stuff that he's going to go through. But this is a guy who's a dirty player who has been a Preds villain for years. And if he wasn't already the number one biggest villain in Predators history going into yesterday, I feel like it's safe to say now that he is the most hated player by Preds fans, I would guess. And according to Ryan Johansson, nobody likes you, dude.
That's one of
Which
those.
Is still the greatest.
That's one of those lines
ever.
You say when you're at a party, like at a house party, and that one guy or girl comes, and they're just, you know, they're there and nobody, and they're causing a ruckus because they're always meddling in things or saying something that's just not right. And finally, someone gets up after there's been a little commotion. Somebody finally gets up and walk over to the guy or the girl, and they say, "Nobody really likes you. Can you leave?" That's basically how it is. Nobody really likes you, dude. Seriously.
What was it? Was it Perry or was it Kessler? See, now I'm gonna change history, uh-huh. And I don't care if he said it to Ryan Kessler. I'm gonna make it about
Corey
Perry.
Yeah, we're gonna
make it Perry because Corey Perry is the guy we all hate.
Exactly.
Kessler, I know the history with Kessler goes back to Vancouver when he played for Vancouver and the Sedin twins and those guys beat this Nashville Predators team. I don't think Ryan Johansson was on that team yet, but it was. You know, like, it's just one of those lines that was just so simple and so elegant and to the point. Like, you're a loser. Nobody likes you.
Dude, nobody likes you.
I think it was to Ryan Kessler, but again, I don't care.
No, we're saying no. We're going to replace Kessler with Corey Perry.
Yeah. Yes. Because again, you're a loser. Nobody likes you.
Exactly.
No. It's a dirty shot. It's a dirty hit. And I will say this. It's a really tiny piece of analysis, but I'm here for it. And that is... When you get ejected out of a game, to have to walk the length of a football
that
field.
Walk was, I'm watching him as he's making that walk, and I'm like, oh,
my. He just kept going.
I know he wish he could just go, like, in a tunnel somewhere and walk underneath the ground.
And he deserves it. He deserved to get booed. It was a cheap shot. It didn't have to happen. He didn't have to do it. And he should be suspended for
that. That was the longest walk of shame ever. And it's not like, because like in other sports, like you could jog off. Because you got on your tennis shoes or cleats. He couldn't jog
you
off.
You can't jog. Yes. It was a long walk. And Preds fans had like a good 20 seconds to boo him, which was really great.
That
like,
was the longest was walk ever, man.
And we're not making light of the Ryan Ellis injury here because that was obviously very serious. And head injuries are very serious. And the Preds are in a very serious last place position with now without one of their star defensemen who is, you know, 28 points on the season, number two behind only Roman Josi on the team. So it's a very serious situation. The only thing I can do is try to find something to smile about, which is, you know, Corey Perry getting booed on a long walk out of a football stadium, one of the only positives from that situation at all. And then, of course, the game itself was this spectacle that was great for the NHL, second most attended game in NHL history, over 85,000 people, an absolute total victory and a success from an event standpoint, but all the same stuff. I mean, not only is it the same stuff, goaltending, you know, power play, special teams, mistakes, inconsistency, energy, focus, all the questions we have about this team, and it's a 4-point swing. You would have been within four of Dallas had you won the game and held on to a 2-0 lead late in the second. Instead, you give up four goals in 8 minutes, and you lose, and now you're down 8 points to Dallas, and you're tied for last in the Central Division. So it's all that stuff. But now you've also maybe lost Ryan Ellis for a period of time.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate part. Also, I mean, we love Adam Vingan. I think he's one of the best, you know, writers out there, guy that covers this sport, you know, better than just about anybody that I know in regards to the Nashville Predators. And there are a lot of good writers out there. But just reading his bit on The Athletic about that game and about the Nashville Predators, you know, him asking Pecorine, you know, questions and about the game and about the crowd, and Pekka saying, "Man, we're in trouble." Now, when your goalie says we're in trouble, then best believe you're in trouble. We may look at it from the standpoint of it's a long season
pretty harrowing comment from the goaltender.
But when the goaltender said, "Man, we're in trouble. And we need to get things fixed," then yeah, you're in trouble. And, you know, this is probably, as Adam said, this is the most talented roster that the Predators has ever had. Yeah, hands down. And for them to be playing the way that they're playing is not acceptable. It's embarrassing. And, you know, how they fix it, I don't know. But again, if your goalie's saying you're in trouble, you're in trouble. And you got to figure out how to fix this whole thing. So, again, kudos to Adam for putting together a good piece. He also asked LaViolette, you know, was he feeling the pressure? And because of what's going on and the talent they have on the team. And Lavi said, no, he hadn't felt any pressure, and he don't want to talk about it.
Well, I sure hope he's feeling pressure.
I hope he is feeling pressure.
But again, that comes from a place of you as an organization, the Nashville Predators, including head coach Peter LaViolette, have elevated expectations for this franchise.
Yeah.
You all have done a great job building expectations, and the fans are different today. And I've said this for years. The fans are different today than they were 5 years ago and 10 years ago and 15 years ago. There are expectations now. They are demanding championships. They are demanding competing for championships. That is what you want. That is what every hockey player and coach and administrator wants, is for their team and their, and it's every sport.
Yeah.
You want to have a fan base that expects to win and holds you accountable for that. But the accountable part is a big part of the equation as well. And if you're losing games and there's no explanation for it, somebody's going to be held accountable, and eventually it does fall on the head coach. Eventually. Now, I don't know what the head coach can do about goaltending. That's one of those weird things. Like, I don't think David Poile can fix goaltending. I don't think Peter LaViolette can fix goaltending. It's sort of just on Pekka and UC Saros to just be better. And I don't know if even a goaltending coach is helpful in this situation, because we know how good they can be, and they're just simply not playing good hockey this year. And sometimes you just have a bad year. The problem is it's coinciding with a year where fans have expectations, and that's an issue. And I don't – again, I don't think there's a – you know, I know you've said this many times. I'm not sure I'm ready to go the age route yet with Pekka. I'm not ready to go there because we still see these flashes of brilliance. So I'm not ready for that yet. It's still, again, we still have a lot of season left. But, you know, everybody is accountable. And pressure should exist because the expectations are high.
No, you're right. But I go with the age. I go with the age thing with Pekka because and I'm going with the not living up to expectations, and there should be some pressure because you get exiled in the playoffs very quickly last year. Pekka plays poorly in the playoffs last year.
And the year before sometimes.
And now, fast forward to this season, Pekka's not playing well. You are slowly going downhill as a franchise this season. Not to say that the franchise as a whole is going downhill and they will never be able to regroup and they will continue to be bad for years on end. No, I'm talking this season. This team is going downhill. The goalie is going downhill. And I look back to what they did at the end of the season last year in the playoffs. And it just seems like now it's repeating itself. And listen, if you wanna know about your future, then you look at what has happened in the past. And in the past, Pekka hadn't played well. And I'm going back to last season. He hadn't played well at the end of the season, meaning the playoffs.
Right.
And now he's not playing well now. I think Father Time is catching up with him.
That's not a bad thing.
Well,
it just is what it is.
It is what it is. Yeah. It's not like, you know, Pekka don't know how to play hockey no more. It's just those things that he used to do and how he used to be able to regroup fast the next day.
Yeah.
He just can't do it anymore.
And listen, you go from Stanley Cup to second round to first round to missing the playoffs, if that's what happened this year, that's a pretty clear direction.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Now, again, there's far more nuance and subtlety to sports than that. You know, injuries, you know, young players, trades. I mean, there's so much that goes into evaluating an entire team sport over a long season. You know, same thing with Mariota and Tannehill. Like, I don't care how it looks. Just get me to the playoffs, right? Whether it's Mariota being mediocre or Tannehill being exceptional, I don't care. They're both 9-7 and they're both in the playoffs. All I care about is get me a playoff game. And so I know that that's oversimplifying it, but it is what it is. It's a results-oriented business, whether it's the NHL, the NFL, college hoops, whatever. By the way, we'll talk with Casey Alexander coming up top of the hour. I am curious, and I'm going to float this idea, and I talked to you about it during the break, Derek, and you kind of I kind of talked you into it a little bit, and I want to ask Casey about this. As it pertains to the Winter Classic, could you do historic outdoor college basketball games at like really cool historic outdoor street parks or city parks or neighborhood parks around the country? You know, Rutgers, the most famous one, right? In New York. Like, is there someplace in Atlanta that could host an outdoor college basketball game in like early November, maybe when the weather's not bad? I know Chicago or New York, that's harder, but maybe L.A., I don't know. Like, wouldn't it be cool to have that kind of event in a college basketball setting? I know they've done the aircraft carrier thing before.
Mm-hmm.
With, like, wasn't it Michigan State, North Carolina?
Yeah, a few years ago.
And everyone, like, slipped everywhere. wouldn't it be cool to, like, because you could redo a little park, neighborhood park that's famous and has some history and it, you know, I don't know.
I think that would be cool.
Wouldn't that be a cool idea?
Yeah.
Am I the only one?
No, you're not. When you brought it up, I'm like, no, that I like would it. Be cool.
You like that? You like that?
Now I feel like Kirk exactly where I was going to go to. I was waiting for it. But no, I mean, I like it.
You like that question mark?
But it, like I said, it all depends on, like, the team, though. It's got to be the right team.
That's what we're saying in the Rutgers. Yeah. It has to be like Georgetown, Syracuse, Villanova.
You give me Syracuse, UConn at Rutgers Park. Wouldn't that be cool?
Like, let me ask you this.
Old Big East teams going head-to-head?
Yeah. Like, I'll ask both of you this. Would you go to a Memphis-Tennessee game at Nissan?
Yeah, of course.
Do you think other people will?
Yes.
Okay,
100%.
There you go.
Of course.
Now that's a similar but slightly different angle, right? Like, that's a big stadium with trying to pack as many people in. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we, and again, I've lived here for 20 plus years. I don't think we've got, like, a famous outdoor basketball court that, like, historically people have played on. You know, but you know, like, again, an outdoor game in theory between Memphis and Tennessee, I would assume would sell out extremely well.
Or
the new soccer stadium would be great.
I was about to say, the new soccer stadium, that would be wonderful.
It'd be awesome. Yeah, it'd be very cool. I just think you could do this Winter Classic thing with other indoor sports. Like college hoops.
Yeah.
Because college hoops needs a little extra juice sometimes in November. And a big reason why we love Memphis and Tennessee playing in December is that it brings attention to the sport. I think an outdoor game, while they've tried some stuff, again, on the aircraft carrier, I think, wasn't that in San Diego? And then,
I think it was.
So there is, they've tried some things. I just think it'd be cool to go to historic outdoor neighborhood parks and use them to promote college basketball. Weather's a major issue.
I think the Panthers should let Duke and North Carolina play one game there. I think that would be the marquee game.
I see where your head's at on that. But Duke and North Carolina would never let it.
Obviously, somebody's going to lose a home game.
So there's no way the Dean Dome or Cameron Indoor lets that happen.
Awesome, that'd be awesome.
That would be awesome.
But I'm still thinking about
Memphis and UT
at the soccer stadium. That would be nice.
Like, give me North Carolina and Kentucky at, like, an outdoor, you know, famous outdoor neighborhood park in Atlanta. I feel like that would sell like crazy and would bring tons of interest. And it would feel like, you know, you keep the chain link fence, you know what I mean? It's, you know what I'm saying? Like, keep it like the neighborhood. Like, make it what basketball, how it, I don't know, I'm just spitballing here. We'll talk to Casey Alexander, and amongst other things, we'll ask him about that. Coming up top of the hour, Belmont head basketball coach. Also, Stick to Sports when we come back right here on Morning Drive. Real quick note before we get to Stick to Sports. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. David Stern, former commissioner of the NBA, passing away at age 77, I believe, yesterday. Obviously a sad and tragic story. A man that was as influential in his sport as maybe anyone else in the history of their sport, and one of the most influential sports figures in American sports history as well. So David Stern dead at 77 years old. Tragic news there. Again, a guy that just took over the NBA when the finals were on tape delay. Just think about all you 23-year-olds out there that are listening right now. Think about having to wait until the game happens at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and then it's on tape delay so that you can watch it that night on TV. Because it already happened. It's just remarkable that the NBA was there. And David Stern, of course, took Magic and Bird and Michael and turned it into one of the most successful leagues. What'd you say the revenue? Didn't you see a stat on the revenue?
They went from $165 million when he took over to $5.5 billion. Now,
Over 25 years.
25 years. Yeah. Not a lot of it, you know, inflation and everything else. But
still pretty impressive.
That's impressive. But I think more importantly, he took it from a U.S. to a global.
Yep, no question about it.
The world is a crazy place.
Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Let's lighten the mood.
After all that seriousness, you're just going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash.
And stick to sports. Now, on Morning Drive, number one.
All right, fellas. I'm having this. I know a lot of people have this mistake, too. I've put 2019 on, like, three different interviews we've done today. When I was posting them, and I was like, dang, I'm falling into that trap of like
you're already messing up.
Yeah, already messing up and putting 2019. But how long does it take for you guys to get over that? Because usually it takes me like maybe a month to get over the 2019 phase of writing everything 2019.
I am so ready for 2020. So for me, it's probably not going to take long. But I think that depends on everyone's situation. Like if you had a great year in 2019, or if you had a bad year in 2019, doesn't it affect you? How you look at move? I'm ready for 2020. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, new year, new things. Or is it just new year, old things that you try to make new things?
Do we also just put entirely too much weight on New Year's Day because it's January 1st and the calendar changes years? Like, couldn't you also do just like July summer resolutions? Like, hey, it's my summer resolution. I'm deciding to get healthy now. Like, couldn't you?
Well,
like, why do we choose New Year's?
Intentions.
I know. That's my idea. You don't get to steal my idea.
But
New Year's intentions.
Yes. I guess. I mean.
But like, what's the point of it making it New Year? Like, just because the calendar went from 19 to 20?
Yeah, I guess so. But why? This is what I never understood. Is that when the year changes, it's always this big, I need to do this, I want to do this. But shouldn't you want to do that, get better every day?
On a Tuesday in March.
Year it is?
That's my question.
Yeah.
Why not, May 14th?
Exactly.
Like, whatever.
I just want to get better at doing this. Exactly.
Pick a day to get back in shape, read more, spend more time with your
absolutely.
Family. Like, just stuff you should do all the time.
Do you have to wait until the year changes?
I don't know. I'm like, I will spend time with y'all, but it's February.
Yeah.
So next year, I got y'all.
And listen, here's the other thing. Think about this. If you stick with your, again, we call them New Year's intentions on the show because I think you're setting yourself up for failure if you call them resolutions.
Yes.
And then if you just have a cheat day, then all of a sudden you're a failure, but really not. Here's the other thing. If you can stick with your New Year's intention for just like 3 or 4 months and you do that every year, you're living like a third of your life pretty well. That's a pretty good job. If you can just keep that intention from like January through like end of April, think about it. You've done four months of good living there. Then you can cheat the rest of the year, basically. Yeah. Basically for football season.
Exactly.
Number two.
Speaking of New Year's. Now, every year there's always this, Dick Clark's and Ryan Seacrest, like New Year's shows and all these like fancy shows that are on different networks that do different things,
performers. 1 second this year.
Me either.
Except for the second of Rob Gronkowski.
And that's where I was going. So thank you, Braden, for stealing my thunder there. But Rob Gronkowski was on with Steve Harvey, and Steve Harvey has this Lego head of himself sitting there. So what do you think the first thing goes in Gronk's mind of what I'm going to do with this Lego head?
Have you seen this, Derek?
Knock
have you not
it
seen
over.
But you haven't seen the,
no,
the video, right?
No, I haven't seen the video.
You got to watch the video, but I'm going to play the audio. Here is Rob Gronkowski smashing Steve Harvey's head, Lego head.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Are you serious? I don't want to work with him no more. Why is he here? Why are you here? What is wrong with you? You're mentally imbalanced. This nut right here that broke the...
It's my favorite line right here.
You know how hard it is to get them brown Legos?
That last line kills me.
But no, what kills me the most? And D-Base, we got to show you the video. While Steve Harvey is berating Rob Gronkowski, he's dancing.
Yeah. And he's like kicking the Legos and he's like gyrating his hips and everything.
He's dancing like a frat
so
boy the whole entire time. Steve Harvey's like berating him.
So Steve Harvey's clearly sober.
Uh-huh.
But my favorite line is, you know how hard it is to get them brown Legos? That kills me. But he immediately, he's dressed like an old Notre Dame player. He's got like an old leather helmet on with like no face mask and like an old jersey, and he picks up the big head of Steve Harvey that's Legos. He does a little dance like he scored and then spikes it like a touchdown, and it shatters everywhere. Do you think Rob Gronkowski is sober? That's my question.
No, not at all. Okay. But I think that was all written in.
I agree.
Yeah, I think it was all written
like,
in.
Like, hey, we're going to have him spike the head. Uh-huh. Steve, write a few jokes.
Yeah. Just say something about it.
How hard it is.
You know how hard it is to get them brown Legos?
No, I don't. No, actually.
Think about it. No, see, now I'm in.
I think it's Barry Hearn because they don't sell brown Legos.
Yes, unless you're buying like the old like pirate ship stuff.
Yeah, you're right.
The old pirate ship stuff, you can find some brown Legos.
Exactly.
But I think the point is valid.
You know how many Lego sets he probably had to buy to get the brown Legos?
Look, I am in peak Lego building part of my life, man. Outside of being a child. Uh-huh. And we got Duplos. We're transitioning into Legos right now with my little kids. And no, there's a lot of colors.
Yeah.
Not a lot of brown ones.
Nah. Mm-mm. Not at all.
I love them. I got to show
it's
you
so
the video.
Funny. The video is so funny.
Him dancing is probably the best part of this whole thing.
Because he's just at the club.
Oh, man.
He's
you got to love
gyrating.
Grant. You got to love Grant, though.
He's TV gold.
Yeah.
Are we ever? I don't think we're going to get tired of him.
I think we will.
Do you think?
Not if he does stuff like that, no.
No. Because here's the thing. We're not asking him to talk a lot.
Nah.
I just come
right.
here, like,
just
smash
act stupid.
Stuff and act stupid and dance and embarrass Steve Harvey on national TV.
Gronk smash. That's all you need.
Like, what do you like? What do you expect to happen?
You said Gronk smash.
If they would have just tossed it to someone else on the streets of Town Square, I would have been like, "What was Gronk for?"
Change the channel.
Place? Yeah, change the channel. Channel changer immediately.
So do you get? Sorry, Marquise. Do you guys sit and watch the New Year stuff?
No, I don't.
No,
it was playing in the bar. And it was awful.
I did not see a second of it.
I did not watch a minute of it.
Yeah, they were showing it in the bar that I was at, and I was just like,
"Well, you're busy."
Yeah, why is this?
You're busy.
I'm always busy, man.
Marquise was busy. Keese was apparently hosting the Winter Classic watch party yesterday.
Oh, man.
Munson is producing the show right now, but apparently Marquise.
Mm-hmm. Keese was.
It was Keese on New Year's Eve or Marquise?
Yeah, it was Keese. Keese was two nights in.
Oh, okay.
It was a two-night special. Right. Oh, Keese.
Keese took over and never left for a couple days.
Keese woke up and just put his same Keese clothes on. Not the same clothes, but Keese clothes on. And went right back out and went to Tin Roof on Broadway.
He didn't mean He didn't mean the actual same clothes.
Yeah, Keese got his own separate closet. Like Batman where he holds his suit at. That's where Keese has his clothes at.
Okay.
Usually it's Nike gear or
that's ridiculous.
Some Jordans,
The clothes that was laying on the ground from the day before, Keese just
pretty
put
much.
Them on.
We've obviously got a huge Titans playoff game to get to, Tennessee Volunteer Bowl game to get to, Preds Winter Classic as well. But we'll talk with Casey Alexander, Belmont basketball coach, when we come back right here, Morning Drive.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.